Returning to US politics now, this week Donald Trump was confirmed as the Republican Party candidate for the US presidency at a convention in Milwaukee on Thursday night. In what was the longest of such speeches, he spoke both about the recent assassination attempt on his life, but also his economic plans for a second term. In a moment, we'll be hearing from E.J. Dionne, Professor of Public Policy at Georgetown University and columnist with The Washington Post. But first, let's have a quick listen to some of Mr. Trump's campaign promises.
So tonight, I make this pledge to the great people of America. I will end the devastating inflation crisis immediately, bring down interest rates, and lower the cost of energy. We will drill, baby, drill.
That's just some of the plans that Mr. Trump has. I began by asking Professor Dionne what he learned from that speech and if Trump's economic policy has evolved since his last time in the Oval Office.
Well, in a way, it's evolving in the same direction that he had already taken when he was in office. He's promised enormous tariff increases, which are consistent with what he did, which a lot of people across the political spectrum are very concerned about what effect they might have. But he continues, and I think if you listen to the whole speech, his real energy was in more tax cuts. What's really important is that the tax cut that passed under Trump expires next year. And so this election, even though it probably won't be fought primarily around that issue, is a very large choice about whether you continue with a tax cut that was oriented toward corporations and mostly toward wealthy people, or if Biden won or the Democrats were at least to hold one house, a fight for a very different kind of tax plan. Because if Congress does nothing, that entire tax cut expires. But then you have the other side where you have the choice of J.D. Vance as his running mate. And J.D. Vance speaks this working class language, talks about attacks the ruling class. And so you really have this kind of bifurcated message. On the one hand, tax cuts and also deregulation. You heard that in the drill, baby, drill clip that you played on the one side, but a lot of language about lifting up the working class. And I think that there is a kind of big mystery at the heart of this, but there's probably very little mystery that if Trump wins, he will fight for tax cuts and he'll overturn an awful lot of the regulatory measures on health and safety, on labor, on the environment that President Biden put into place.
You mentioned how J.D. Vance was talking and trying to attract maybe some people who wouldn't be natural Republican Party members. And we saw a representation of that with the Teamster Union, Sean O'Brien, speaking early in the week. And it was unusual, to say the least, to hear from a union boss at a Republican convention. Is Trump trying to move closer to the unions with a view to securing a wider support base?
Well, you know, it was fascinating. If you listen to Sean O'Brien, there were parts of that speech that could easily have been given at a rally for Bernie Sanders. It was a remarkable thing to hear at the Republican convention. It was even more remarkable to hear a Republican audience cheer.
Trump is probably most closely associated with New York as opposed to any city in the United States. What is his relationship with Wall Street interests these days, as there seems to be an undercurrent within the Republican Party moving away from corporate America?
Well, again, as we were talking about earlier, I think there's an enormous ambiguity about this, because when you look at Republicans in Congress, they are still broadly aligned with business or corporate interests in what they're proposing and how they vote. The number of dissident Republicans who speak more critically of capitalism is fairly small. J.D. Vance is one of them. Senator Marco Rubio is another. Senator Josh Hawley is another. But they are not the dominant view. There is talk here about a split between Wall Street on the one side and a kind of rising right within Silicon Valley. It's interesting that J.D. Vance may be a populist, but his political career was supported by a famous, very, very conservative tech entrepreneur called Peter Thiel, who contributed large sums to J.D. Vance's Senate campaign in Ohio in 2022. And so you may be seeing some kind of Silicon Valley, again, a wing of Silicon Valley splitting against Wall Street. But I think the jury is out about how authentically populist this Republican Party is. And there are, you know, segments of Wall Street that are also supporting Trump because they don't like the regulatory policies of President Biden. President Biden has been a rather progressive president when it comes to regulation of finance and of other aspects of the economy.
Just one final question. Trump has indicated that he will use tariffs on imports on certain goods, and he also wants car manufacturing to return to the US from places like Mexico. Now, talks about reshoring or bringing companies back to the US and even lowering corporate tax rate. Now, that's something that Irish ears prick up very quickly with. If Trump gets elected, what impact would it have on the US economy and the wider global economy?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things that's happened in American politics over the last decade or so is that what people call the old neoliberal consensus has really broken up. Joe Biden has also been for reshoring manufacturing. So Trump is now part of a bit of a consensus on saying that a pure free trade agenda is no longer in the U.S. interests. Where Trump differs is on these promises of rather massive across-the-board tariffs. The president has a lot of power in this area, so that I do think that Trump is likely to be less friendly to our European, say, trading partners than Biden would be. But I think you have to understand that in a context that rebuilding manufacturing in the U.S. is now a bipartisan cause.
But do you believe that there could be a trade war if he decides to weigh in heavily on that issue?
I think it's possible, yes. I don't think Trump would shy away from trade wars.
And that was E.J. Dionne, Professor of Public Policy at Georgetown University.